The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, November the 11th. Our guest today is none other than the Gas Man, Richard Griffin, and we'll talk with him next after this word from the great folks at Coastal181.com. Now that fall has arrived, it's time to start working on that Christmas list for the race fan in your life. Whether you are looking for a book or DVD, you can do all of your shopping securely online at Coastal181.com. Whether it's dirt or asphalt, short track or super speedway, open wheel or stock car, you'll find something for every race fan at Coastal181.com. Coastal181.com, reading for racers.
Hi, this is Bad Chad Layton. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. It is absolutely an honor and a great pleasure to have our next guest on. He goes by the nickname of the Gas Man, winning 5 Sprint Car Racing Association titles, more than 60 wins in his career. And he went out on top when he retired in 03 as a champion. He was inducted into the Arizona Racing Hall of Fame last year. This year, as the United States Auto Club wraps up its national sprint car scene, he will be the Grand Marshal for the 14th Hall of Fame Classic. We welcome in the Gas Man, Richard Griffin, from Silver City, New Mexico. Richard, it's a great pleasure to talk with you. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
It's been a little more than a decade since your last race. Do you still miss it?
Oh, I do at times. I'm kind of lucky since there's not a racetrack right here in Silver City where I live, so I don't get the bug too bad, but I do. I still talk to and have a lot of friends involved in racing, so they're always wondering when I'm going to go, and I always try to make it a point to go a couple times a year.
I was just going to ask you, so you get to races a few times a year. Why is it that certain drivers, when they leave the sport and basically they retire, have a hard time going back to the racetrack, and other drivers have no problem being around the sport?
I can't really answer that question. I think it's that way in a lot of different sports. You see some sports where guys retire and they go back and do different things and they're involved, and then some guys just retire and they walk away and aren't really involved any longer. So for me, it's I don't think it's that I feel like I can't go back and or that it bothers me to go back, because it doesn't. But just because of the proximity of that I am to the racetracks, it's not really easy to go on a regular basis. And, I don't know, like I say, you do when you go back, you get a little bit of the bug to think, well, hell, I could still do that. But in the light of the day, you know you probably can't. But I still do, like I said, I have a lot of great friends and great memories, and so it's always fun to go back and talk to those guys.
Was there any time in this past decade when you weren't racing where you were really close to wanting to get back in, even if it was for a one-off race?
No, it really wasn't. When I retired, I really felt like I was ready to retire, and I never really even had the urge. I had a lot of people offer me chances to go back and drive cars, but I just felt like I was retired, and I felt like I was ready to retire, and I never really did have the urge to go back and even attempt to try it.
Richard, for some of our newer listeners and newer people to the sport of sprint car racing, what is the adrenaline rush about driving a sprint car that keeps you guys as young as you are at times? And how hard was it that first year after you retired not to want to get back out there right away and keep those adrenaline juices going?
Well, there is a lot of adrenaline, that's for sure. I can still remember, after the races, going to a hotel or whatever, not really being tired, not being able to sleep, and being wound up, for different reasons of things that happened during the race. But I don't know, it's really hard to explain how that rush, it's really probably one of the biggest rushes anybody could ever have, probably in any sport. I would think just because of the sheer power of race cars, or sprint cars especially, and the way they handle and everything, it is very exciting. And, I really don't know how to explain it, but it's definitely a rush.
Was the rush for you the same in 2003 when you went out as SCRA champion as it was for the first time that you raced a sprint car?
I think I still had a lot of, it probably wasn't as much because I had done it for an awful long time. But it was still definitely a rush, and again, because of where I lived, it was always not easy to get to the track, so I spent quite a bit of time traveling, but, you know, I always enjoyed every minute I was able to go and be in a race car, and, you know, I wouldn't have done it, you know, that was my passion, really, to go racing, but, you know, I don't know, like I said, just, I think when you get to a certain level in racing and you're driving for different car owners, they demand a lot. They all want to win, and so you put a lot of pressure on yourself. That's probably what I remember the most, is from when I told them I was quitting or retiring. I just felt like relieved because there was so much pressure on drivers to perform and to perform at a high level, and you really, after a period of time, you get to where you don't even really realize how much pressure is on you to perform, but yet it does mount on to you, and like I say, when I retired, it did seem like a ton of bricks was off of me, and I didn't have to worry about next week and how we had to, you know, be in the top three or whatever. You know, it's a lot of pressure.
Was that pressure taking a toll on you personally at the end of your career?
I think it was. I think it because we were pretty successful, like you say, five-time champion, two of the seasons in there. We ended up second in points, and like I said, I was a three-time non-wing world champion. So, you know, you get to where owners just expect to win and expect to always be up on the top, and when that doesn't happen, then that causes, you know, turmoil in with the crew and driver and owner, you know, because just everybody always expects. So if you go a couple of weeks and don't really run well, you can really feel that pressure start to build to do better. And so, you know, after doing it I really raced for 25 years, and probably the last 15 or so were with different teams that were pretty successful. And so there was a lot of pressure throughout those years that just, like I say, after a period of time, I felt like I just didn't have a whole lot more to prove. And I was just, really, I think just kind of tired.
It's interesting to say and hear people say they did get tired of racing at the very end. And when you were racing back in your days, was there ever talk about what you guys as racers knew were telltale signs that it was time to retire from the sport? And what do you think about today's current crop of racers that are out there in terms of the younger generation getting into sprint cars at much younger ages than guys that you were with back in the day?
Oh gosh, these young kids, there's some really talented kids out there. I guess my only thought was that a lot of them don't really realize, and parents also, is that race cars, those sprint cars particularly, they can be harmful to you, you know, dangerous. And so a lot of people, you know, as long as they stay on all four, everybody's happy and everything's great. But sometimes when they do turn over and people get hurt, then everybody, you know, kind of wakes up and says, gosh, you know, do I really want to be doing this or what? And so for some of these kids, like I say, there's a lot of good, super good race cars, I think, nowadays. A lot of them are handled better than they've ever handled. They don't turn over as often, I would say. They groom racetracks a little different than I would say they used to, when they used to have a lot of them used to have a super, you know, big cushion, and some of them were sort of treacherous. And so I think they've tried to make racing safer for everybody. But back in the I'm going to say 70s, really before I was involved, 70s, 80s, even before that, you know, you look back, some of those guys really were crazy, racing some of those cars with really narrow little tires and minimal safety equipment, and a lot of, like I say, if you go back and see, there's a lot of guys that got killed and stuff from accidents that happened. And so racing, I think it's a lot safer than it was, but they, not to say you can't, you darn sure can get hurt in a sprint car today. And that's really, there was a guy you raced for, and John Lawson, you probably know him, that Billy Bow drove, owned midgets and stuff. And I drove for him sometimes, run midgets and stuff for him. And he's really the guy that one time told me, late in my career, he just came up to me and just as a, because he's a friend, just asked me, what the hell do you really think you're doing? You know, you got a family, you got a daughter, you got a big good business, you know, you need to take care of that stuff, and you've about outgrown racing and at the level I was doing.
That's an interesting response to hear, because I remember looking at the pictures that we have of my uncle racing back in the days at Sewins Grove Speedway here in central Pennsylvania, and just how narrow the tires were on the front of the cars. And we've shown some of those to some of the top drivers, and they just shook their heads. And you know, you wonder how many of these kids today, or even current day drivers, would have gotten into a car like that back in the 40s and 50s when safety was not even thought of back then. And speaking of Pennsylvania, it reminds me, I just have to do one quick shout out as we're talking with Richard Griffin, who is the Grand Marshal for the Hall of Fame Classic this coming weekend at the Canyon Speedway Park in Peoria, Arizona. It's the 14th edition of it. A gentleman you know all too well, and maybe gentleman, I'm not sure if that's the right word or not, but Ricky Gaunt. We finally caught up with Ricky the other day, longtime non-wing sprint car driver out in the West Coast. He wanted me to say hi to all of his fans here in central Pennsylvania, but I had to remind him that his fan club, like Rodney Dangerfield, you know, the guy died. The fan club was dissolved. So, you know, Ricky just wanted me to just remind him, everybody, he's alive and well, and he hasn't forgot about his Pennsylvania fans. And he enjoyed that. You came here with the SCRA, Bob Miller from Thunder on the Hill, bringing the non-wing boys in, and now we have USAC coming in on a regular basis. What was it like to come to Pennsylvania back in the day into an area where traditionally, since 67, it had been a wing sprint car scene?
Oh, it was always a lot of fun. The fans back there, I think they were looking forward to having non-wing sprint cars come back there. I think I actually went back there with CRA back, I can't remember the year, or it could have been SCRA earlier, and I had been there prior to that. Back, I was driving for Tom Klein, and we were running some World Outlaw races, so I'd been back there running some wing races back in like 87, but then most recently, I can't remember what year it was, we went back there, I think it was about one of the last seasons with SCRA, and you know, the fans, like you say, you guys have a ton of great fans, and I think they were all looking forward to seeing some non-wing sprint car racing that they typically don't get to just go watch on a regular weekly basis.
As great as the wing racing is here in central Pennsylvania, and as much as people love it for sheer speed, Richard, there's still something about driving by the seat of your pants, feeling that car out, knowing when to turn, knowing that that car could be at any time teetering on going over. And, of course, in a non-wing sprint car, those flips seem like they last a lot longer than they do in a wing sprint car. Do you recall what would be the worst flip you ever had?
I think the worst flip I ever had was at Ascot Park back in, It was a CRA race. It was like a Pacific Coast Nationals or something. And it would have been in probably 84, 85, somewhere in there. And I was real young, sort of, you know, really, I was racing for Lowell Carson at the time. He was one of the first guys I started driving for, and that's where it happened. And we flipped pretty much down about half the front straightaway and ended up getting hung up in the catch fence, and I was actually knocked completely out. And they had to get a front end loader to go over there and get me unhooked off that fence. And I still, to this day, I don't remember anything about it other than when I woke up in the hospital there.
Oh, wow. How about racing at Manzanita? Some of us were not fortunate to get out to see the track before the unfortunate circumstances led to its demise. How fast of a track was that, and where would you classify that in terms of the fastest tracks you've raced on?
Well, Manzanita was, for me, it was probably as close to what I could call a home track, because I grew up here in New Mexico, but we went to Arizona a lot, and then, like I said earlier, when I started racing for Lowell Carson, he was a local Arizona car owner, and so back then, we race there every week pretty much, and so I started racing there very often. And so I got a lot of experience racing there at Manzanita, and then CRA would come over there, you know, I can't remember, two or three times a year. And so we'd have all the CRA guys show up and get our chance with them. And then we always had, back then, Leland and Ronnie were racing there at Phoenix some also. You know, they would just be there on some weekly shows. So I got a lot of experience running that half mile, and I actually, I think I got to where I was pretty good at it there at Manzanita. And so we had quite a bit of success over the years there, and it is a big half mile. But I don't know whether I really, I know it was fast, but I probably didn't feel like it was as fast as some other places. And I'm trying to think of what I might, I probably would think like maybe for back there, like Port Royal, to me, I never raced a non-wing car at Port Royal, but I raced a wing car there, or even Williams Grove, to me, felt like it was a lot faster than Manzanita with those big sweeping turns. It had real big sweeping turns, and so, you know, you could carry a lot of momentum through them, but it didn't, I never felt like I was, you know, going, it was never really uncomfortable, I guess, for me as much as some other places.
Did you have a favorite track that you raced at?
Oh, I would say it would be Manzanita for sure. That would be my favorite track.
And you just mentioned some great guys just a moment ago, Ron Schumann and Leland McSpadden. Those guys and others, and we had another person that you probably know, Jimmy Oskey, was on the show last week. Who was, if there was one guy, even the late Dean Thompson, was there one guy that stood out as one of the toughest, fiercest drivers to race against week in and week out throughout your career?
Probably Leland. I didn't ever get to race much with, like, Dean Thompson, really a lot of those here against Bubby Jones. I raced some with them. And Ronnie was almost sort of gone a lot from Manzanita when I was there. But from a weekly basis, Ronnie was always for sure tough. And I raced with him later after he quit racing with the World Outlaws, and he was racing SCRA. You know, we competed a lot, or really every week, and him and Leland were all those CRA or SCRA races back then. And so we raced every week. So I would say it was probably Leland. Leland was probably the toughest, but he was always probably the, you know, one of the, you could race with him and you didn't have to worry about him just taking you out. And so that made it fun to race with him, because if one guy was on the top, one the bottom, you knew you could race and he wasn't going to intentionally just crash you. And so that's always fun when you can do that and just battle it out and see who's the fastest.
Of those five championships that you did win back in the day, any one stick out for any particular reason?
Probably the first one, just not for any reason other than it was just, it was the first, I would say, call it a bigger championship than I had ever won before. And really back then, like you say, we had a lot of those guys that were West Coast guys competing. And so it was just, for me, it was good. The year before, I got beat by 1 point by Ronnie. So that was kind of a heartbreaker year. And to come back and finally win one, that was
nice. Of course, coming up again this weekend, as we mentioned, the Grand Marshal for the 14th Hall of Fame Classic at the Canyon Speedway Park there in Peoria, Arizona. What does it mean a year after being inducted into the Arizona Racing Hall of Fame, what does it mean to be asked to be the Grand Marshal for this race?
Oh, it's a good feeling to be able to be asked to come back and be the Grand Marshal. I don't know that's really a big deal for me, being the Grand Marshal, but I always, like I say, those guys, like you said earlier, Jimmy Oskey, he was there last year. He's, as you know, always fun to be around because he's crazy too. But
yes,
being around there and signing autographs with those guys and getting to talk about old times and watching these young kids that are coming up and some of the great teams that there are competing for that win, you know, that will be definitely a lot of fun.
And why is it that you're not in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask who the guys that get to vote on that. Isn't it the radio announcers and the press people, and I can't remember who all votes on it, but, you know, it just hasn't happened. I think it probably will happen maybe someday, and If it does, that's great. If it doesn't, you know, we're not going to lose any sleep.
Richard, it has been an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. Enjoyed watching you when you came out east and run with the Outlaws and run with CRA and SCRA. And wish you all the best luck in your future, as well as having a great time out there as the Grand Marshal for the 14th Hall of Fame Classic this weekend, which wraps up the United States Auto Club National Sprint Car Touring Series for the season at the Canyon Speedway Park there in Peoria, Arizona.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Hope all the fans had a good season this year, and hopefully they'll come back and get to watch a lot of racing again next year.
The one, the only, the gas man, Richard Griffin, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.